Thank you, Mark.
Good evening, everyone. It is now 5:06, and the Finance Committee is called to order. You'll have to excuse my attire this evening. I wasn't supposed to be here, and I'm sure most of you wish I wasn't here, but as coincidence turned out, I was able to get here. So here I am. We will start the meeting. Acceptance of the minutes from January 6th. Need a motion?
Seconded.
We have a motion for favor. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. 2019-066. Repairs to existing Plymouth vehicle exhaust removal system found on page 1. Chief? Good evening, Chief. If you just state your name for the record, please. Thank you, Chief. Chief, could you refresh our memory regarding the 9-month lapse in the service contract? What was the reason for that? Does Deputy Chief, you have any knowledge on that? To the mic, please. Oh, I'm sorry, if you could turn that mic on.
Assistant Chief Gary Oatley, Fire Department. I'm not exactly sure. I was in the battalion chief's car when that took place. It could have been when we had the mass exodus of guys out of the fire department. Some contracts did lapse, and the that could have been the time frame of when it was.
So, what did the lapse in the contract? What you're suggesting here is that the lapse in the contract is what caused the bottleneck of repairs to occur at the end of 2018. So, how does that all come to play?
A lot of repairs were just put off for an extended period of time, which created a situation in our fire stations where the exhaust from the trucks was accumulating in the building, creating a safety hazard as well as a cleanliness hazard, with all of that certain chemicals being left all over the walls of our fire stations. We have developed a plan to reduce costs. Much of the costs have been associated with the air-filled bladder that goes over the exhaust pipe. Many times, the problems we have, the costs that are incurred because of an issue with that air-filled unit, we're looking at a magnetic system where it will release in an easier fashion, resulting in less damage to the Plymouth system when the truck pulls out of the station.
So, Chief, do I understand this correctly, that bladder thing that you're referring to, so is that something that simply wouldn't have been diagnosed by the average person in the fire department? Is that something that whoever the company was that had this service contract, it required that type of knowledge and skill to be able to realize this is why you got exhaust and soot all over the place?
I think realizing that the contract had expired, there was a lack of people in the administration to bring this issue to. At the time, there was vacancies in the headquarters, so there was a lack of resources to bring that issue to.
Because I would think that if there's something that is identified as a problem, particularly with something like this exhaust removal system, which also removes carbon dioxide and, you know, everything else that occurs, I would think that it's something someone could have requested a 56-6 to do this, or a 3-3. So the service contract really wasn't impeding anyone from getting these things corrected. What we're hearing is that they just didn't get corrected. Fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. So the previous contract expired on January 4th, 2018, 2 years ago, over 2 years ago. And the letter that we have from acting chief at the time, Chief Fontenot, and our binder here is dated July 20th, 2018, speaking to these very repairs. That was in July of 2018. So what you're indicating to us is that the 6 months lap of service or oversight or repairs, et cetera, maintenance, preventive maintenance, that took place from the January 4th, 2018, up until such time as purchasing received this letter, correct?
Yes, and of 118 of 19 was a large amount of over $4,000 to address that prior, I believe it was 8 months of lack of
right.
Lack of activity on that.
Okay, now you have you've got a plan in place. There's a protocol set up for follow-ups, ongoing maintenance, et cetera, et cetera. And how did you come to the number of $8,000? I believe that's the number you're looking for, right? How did you come to that number, that's the number you need to take care of this, the rest of these problems and make this thing what it should be?
That's an estimate for, based on what we've been spending up to this point and the changeover from an air-filled system to a magnetic system.
Has the fire department contacted the provider of the maintenance service and have you had them come to these five stations and do an overview of this system and tell you, okay, this is what we need to do in this one, that's what we need to do in that one, and this is what the cost is going to be? Has that been done?
We're in the process of that. Mainly it's due to age of many of the systems. The systems are, at this point, over 20 years old. We have had them out to make recommendations to us. This recommendation of going to the magnetic system is their first recommendation to try to alleviate the costs and service charges of having to come out time and time again. Most of the time they do come out, it appears to be an air-related issue. It's their recommendation that switching over to this new system, this new releasing device, if you will greatly alleviate the costs associated with the damage to the units.
And I mean, that makes sense, and I'm certainly not disagreeing with you. I think that is, I don't know anything about no pliable vent exhausting. You plug a pipe and it gets rid of the exhaust and nobody chokes. That's what I understand. So yes, I understand and I agree. My concern is $8,000, is that the right number? Is it a number that may be higher than what you need? That's the case? Okay, so be it. But if it's lower, then that's another issue. That's why I'm asking if there has been an evaluation of these five stations, and has a professional who does know about this stuff, knows about these bladder things and whatever else it is that we need to do to get this to where it needs to be, have they provided us with a number to do that?
Yeah, we're basing that on the fact that in fiscal year 19, we spent $9,500. And in that amount is that the first cost of repair, which was higher than a typical repair because there had been so many stations that needed attention. So we're basing it on what we spent in the past, along with, like I said, the changes we want to make to the magnetic system. So we feel $8,000 will be enough to get us through.
Okay, so then we don't have an estimate from the service provider who's going to do whatever needs to be done on these things for magnetic system. We don't have a number from them so that we can be comfortable that that $8,000 is adequate to do what needs to be done.
That's correct. I do not have an exact estimate from the service contractor.
Don't you think that it might behoove you to get that company to come down to the five stations and look at what needs to be done and say, okay, Chief, listen, this one really only needs a little, that one doesn't need anything, this one needs, you know, a whole conversion or whatever, and this is what the number is. I mean, I'd rather deal with the number once than have to deal with it now and find out that, guess what, you know, because we didn't get an estimate from the people that do this and we don't really know what the cost is, we kind of just based it on last year's number and we're short.
Yes,
then
we got
to come back again. Make sense?
Yes.
Is there any harm to the fire department or any reason why you couldn't have them down here between now and the next meeting and do an evaluation of the systems, five systems, and get you a number to make sure that this $8,000 is going to cover you?
We can certainly ask them to come down between now and the next meeting.
Where are they out of?
Massachusetts company.
So they're not far from here. I just came from Boston and got here on time.
We can certainly do that.
Do you think that makes sense? Or?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
And Chief, you mentioned that these systems are 20 years old, so obviously there's going to be a continue on with the repairs. Is this something we're looking in to get a new system in the future, or do you? Or is it something that we can continue to use longer than the 20 years?
I think we could. They've all been serviced over time, so they've all been had some upgrades made to them. I think that switching over to this magnetic system is going to be a make a big difference in the cost we spend annually on repair, and we can also certainly look at doing a replacement program, and oftentimes there's grant money that becomes available for that we can look into.
And that's part of the, you talked about having this long-term improvement plan, that's all part of the plan there?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do you have any questions from members of the public? Okay, we need a motion to hold until, Chief, February 3rd, that'd be enough time? Or do you want us to go to February 24th?
We can try to get them before the 3rd.
And okay. Let's shoot for the 3rd, and we'll go from there.
If not, we'll push.
Okay, need a motion to hold until February 3rd, and the department will get the vendor in to get us an estimate on whatever needs to be done. Need a motion. We have a motion to hold. We have a second.
We need a PCR. It's PCR 8-20.
PCR 8-20. Thank you. We have a motion to hold now PCR 8-20 until February 3rd. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Chiefs. Next item, 2020-105, architectural landscape architectural services for Rocky Point, found on page 11.
Good evening.
Luke Murray from the City Planning Department.
Hi, Luke.
How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm coming tonight for request for award for RFP 2020-105 for landscape architectural services at Rocky Point Park. This is for the entryway design. As you may recall, we received a grant in 2016, a recreation grant in the amount of $100,000. That covered the purchase of some benches, some tables, a shelter, and then one component of that is DM wanted us or persuaded us to look at design of the entranceways, to look at functionality of that from a perspective of accessibility, just sheer aesthetics, and sort of upgrading that with potential for future funding either through DM or other sources. We solicited 14 firms, both local and throughout New England, for this. Landscape architects in Rhode Island as a profession is limited. We did receive a fair response, so we had a mandatory pre-bid in which I showed everyone the project, walked everyone through the project. We had 7 responses to the bids, and they were scored by a member of 3 members from our planning team who weighted them both on cost and qualifications. I also reached out to DEM. They weighed in on their selections. They provided their top 3 selections with the final selection to be done by the city. Based on the evaluation of all the proposals, we came down to 2 preferreds. One of them, cost-wise, was out of our range, but the scoring was very competitive. So we ended up going with Stantec Landscape Architecture to undergo the effort. Again, this is grant-funded. We're looking for an award of $50,000, 1-year contract term. We would be on a fairly aggressive schedule. This grant has had another extension, and I'd like to get this completed by September and anticipate including members of the community, the Rocky Point Foundation, who's already been aware of the project, DEM, in a collaborative effort through a design process in the coming months.
Luke, these entrances that you're speaking about, Yes. So we have what I'll call the southernmost entrance, which is the entrance people have been using for the past umpteen years when the park was essentially closed. Then we have the entrance just slightly north of that. And then we have an entrance at the far south end at Burnett. So you're saying we're doing 2 entrances over?
So we're primarily looking at the existing vehicular entrances. So the 2 okay. you initially referenced, one on, I believe it's Palmer and Rocky Point Ave. So one is closer to the city side lot, mm-hmm. and then the other is within DEM property. So like I said, we've been coordinating on that, and they know they need to be part of the planning process. The idea here is to just create this vision where the community has sort of shared input into that process, and then eventually come out with a product that would include estimates, some construction detailing, to really set us up for a shovel-ready project in the future. So this wouldn't be something that would be implemented right away, but it definitely sets us up for future DEM rounds or other rounds should they come up for funding.
Well, it certainly goes without saying that I'm very happy with this and obviously support it. It's my ward. Rocky Point is a very, very large part of my ward, and it's very important to all of the folks, not just in my ward, but all the wards throughout the city of Warwick, everyone in the state of Rhode Island. This is exciting to see that. I know it's something that had been talked about. It was talked about when I was campaigning in 2012, 2013. We had meetings down there about these entrances and what to do with them, what we can't do with them, so forth and so on. So it's great that it's finally coming to be. So the process. So you had a certain amount of RFPs sent out, and you had a pre-bid meeting. The people that showed up for the how many people showed up for the pre or vendors? How many showed up for the pre-bid meeting?
To be honest with you, I don't have that information with me. I will tell you that the ones who had submitted primarily were the ones that were there. I will say that one of the firms actually who wasn't there decided to collaborate with one of the firms that was there. It's a project team. It was actually a project team of 3 landscape architecture firms that went in on the proposal. So Weston and Sampson went in, I think, with Landscape Elements and Diane Sewell to come in on a proposal. So there was some workings as part of this that people kind of came in collaboratively.
Okay.
And we did review those and weighted those as well.
Pat, do you have any idea how many? Is it fair to say that it was more than the seven that bid?
Yes, but I will tell you that there was more. There was sometimes two members from the same firm. That's why I can't confirm. You know, we had, want to say, probably about 15 people there, but we had several members from the same firms. So I would say the bulk majority of people who bid were at that meeting. I do know that some of the firms, and being a registered landscape architect myself, having been in the industry and owned a landscape architecture firm, I can tell you that it is a limited industry of people who deal in this realm. So particularly public park spaces and entranceway design. And we were very specific. We wrote a very detailed RFP that required certain qualifications within that realm. Because I did not want, you know, obviously you have designers that focus on, let's say, institutional design. That might be fine for that. But from our standpoint, we really wanted somebody who was good at collaborative community process. And also, there's going to be a website that goes up with this. And that was a requirement. The firm had to have capability of setting up a separate website to keep people informed of the design process.
And the seven people that did bid, the seven companies that did bid, all seven of them attended this pre-bid conference?
They did.
Okay. And Stanti, of course, was one of the seven?
Yes.
That attended the pre-bid conference?
Yes, they were.
Okay. There's a lengthy list here of vendors that were sent or received RFPs. Did you or anyone else in your department do any follow-up calls after the bid was presented and after the bid was opened? Did you or anyone from your department make any follow-up calls to find out or ask why vendors did not bid?
Unfortunately, on this particular one, I did not. And part of it is because I knew some of the firms that did not bid, and I knew that, like, there were several ones that I knew that were, let's say, out of, like, in Boston.
Okay.
They're not going to come down for this size of project.
Right.
I kind of knew that, but we wanted to make the list as extensive as we could. But I will tell you that there's a few that, you know, most of the locals that we've dealt with in the past bid on this project. And I will tell you, we've worked with Landscape Elements before. We've worked with Sarah Bradford before. Those are firms that we typically see, but I did not reach out to them on this project because we had a fair amount of bidders. We had seven, which is a pretty good selection, and the cost ranged from $21,000 upwards of $80,000. That was the spread, which is a pretty wide spread given that we wrote the RFP pretty specifically on the number of meetings attended and everything else. So as you can see, we had that spread. I felt fairly comfortable that we were hitting a mid-range there of really good qualifications and a fair cost for those qualifications.
Sure. I think it's encouraging that you received seven vendors to bid. I think that is very encouraging. But I know I, for one, am still going to be looking for departments to reach out to the vendors who were sent RFPs after the bid is open and make a phone call and say, hey, why didn't you bid? Nothing wrong with doing that. Now,
understood.
Some people may disagree with me, but that's my feelings. And I think that you made, this is just my personal opinion, I think you made a good choice because sometimes you look for a deal, you get one, a bad deal. And a $20,000 to do what is necessary here, that's not a good deal. So the other question I have is, and this goes back to the previous administration. So this is, you know, no black eye on the current administration. But my question is, this goes back to 2016. And it was supposed to be done by September of 2018. Why wasn't it?
So as you know, we've undergone a lot of shifts in administration, including some planning members who started this grant who are no longer here. So there was some timeline gaps when I came on, Mr. Kranka had left. And that's not throw, it's just the dynamics of the situation. So there was some lags there. There's been some other, there was multiple components of this project. So obviously some shelters, some other things that were going on in City Park that were also being managed. So it's not uncommon on these grants that they go for longer periods than expected. We've been in communication with DEM on that. But I will say, yes, there was some drag time. What I'm trying to do is anything that we had outstanding, including any of these extensions, really move them forward. So we're almost complete with all of our grants that we had existing through GM, which had lagged for a little bit, including even the Green Cemetery grant, which went back to 2013. And that was partially a matter of just being hung up because of the circulator. On this particular project, we wanted to have a slow approach. What also slowed it down is, quite honestly, DEM, coordination with them, because they wanted to have a role in the selection. They also have been sort of, there's a state-city interface on that property that's very delicate, so we wanted to make sure that they're part of the process, but it slowed our selection process down. As you probably saw, this goes back to July, right? That's partially because of making sure that they had due process on their side.
And I'm sure the fact that the previous administration, at least the previous mayor, left prematurely didn't help anything with this either. So my point is, because I received a couple of calls about this and said, why the delay? Why wasn't it done before? We just talked about the reasons why. The reasons are not on this current administration. It's because of what happened previously.
Correct.
Fair to say?
Fair to say.
Okay. And with the extension that was granted because of these reasons, and I'm sure some others, there's no problem with getting this completed now and, you know, getting things going.
No,
right
actually,
away.
This is the last component of this particular grant.
Okay.
And we're looking on a timeline, pretty aggressive timeline, over the next 4 or 5 months to really ramp this up. Mm-hmm. There's no reason this should have to delay. We're going to be managing very closely. So
great.
I want to get it closed out and get the reimbursements on the grant, because these are long. I have reimbursements that need to be submitted now. So
good. Well, I know everyone in my area that's aware of this, the Rocky Point Association, the Riverview Neighborhood Association, anyone who has anything to do with Rocky Point and is aware of it, is very excited, very happy to see this going. And it's going to be a really, really good thing for the entire city as well. So good job. Any other questions? Yes, Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. And the chairman had touched on this, that when you were reviewing the seven bids, you looked at both cost and qualifications, because this is kind of a middle bidder here.
Mm-hmm.
So when you went over that, can you just, you know, state for the record why Stanek is the what they bring with their expertise? You've worked with them before, or they have experience working on this type of project?
Sure. We had different rating criterias. One was technical approach and understanding, experience and qualification of assigned personnel. So we looked at the resumes for each of them, past project experience, specific to public open space and entryway design. So Stantec, for instance, had worked on a project that was almost exactly like Rocky Point, former amusement park, created entranceways, converted to a new park. So they actually did the master plan for the whole park. So, you know, in looking at that comparison of past project work, it really came down to them and VHB. As I said, VHB was close, but they still ranked second in overall qualifications. But their cost was, I think, upwards of $28,000 more for a very, very similar work scope, exactly the same work scope. I don't know why exactly that is. They have their own overhead and pricing, and some people just, VHB is a very big firm, as is Stantec. But as we look through this, I'm looking at the qualification sheet right now, but they scored a combined score of 82 versus Stantec was, versus VHB, which was at 78. So it was close in the qualifications, it was on a 100-point scale. I guess for the record, based on all of the criteria that was stated, we felt that they, you know, all three participants on the combined score rated them higher. So,
okay. And having this experience in doing a project that was almost exactly like this, they have a better understanding of the actual cost because they've already done it. So
exactly.
It might be the actual real number that you're looking at.
Yeah, and they bring a strong design team to the process, a very strong project manager, 20 years plus experience, who's had specific experience with these types of projects. Again, they're bringing their own web designer, and they had multiple examples of project websites they had done to keep communities informed and engaged that were very impressive. So in reviewing all of that, it was sort of a no-brainer. We want to make sure the core of this process is not just about you know, it is about creating a technically competent design, but it's also about that collaboration that we're trying to build with the re-engage the Rocky Point Foundation, the surrounding community, get re-engaged around Rocky Point, which right now, you know, we've done the improvements we had to this point, but we want to kind of re-engage and refocus. And I think this firm is the ideal candidate to move forward with that.
Great. Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's going to be a great project, and I'm glad that we are looking at all the factors when going forward to get these projects complete, because I know, like the chairman said, that people really love this area, and I think they're going to look forward to seeing it completed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any Council President?
Thank you. I was just going to mention that deadlines come up not only in your situation, but with other situations. And I think that it's important that we start putting these calendar entries 2 or 3 years out into some sort of Google Calendar program or something, so it alerts the person that might be new, or a person that left, or a department head that's new, so we see those deadlines. I know in the past that wasn't available, but I think every department should start doing that now. Every time we pass a contract, that should be in there for police, for fire, for municipal, because it will alert us and obviously follow the resolutions that the council had passed previously, so we don't run up against these deadline issues. And I know the previous administration did not do that, but I think that that should be something that should be easy, and all the department heads that come up should start entering that in, so it pops up 90 to 120 days before something expires. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you, Lucas. Good job on that. 2020-210 Mobile Self-Contained Food Concessions, found on page 30.
James Scott, Parks and Recreation Department.
Hello, James.
Hello, Chairman. Today we're doing the food self-contained food concession bid, also known as food trucks. And that's for several locations: City Park, Confreedy Sports Complex, Connecticut Point, Mickey Stevens, Oakland Beach, and Rocky Point. So of the three bidders put in multiple submissions, of the three bids received, we've elected to award to New England Lemonade at all locations, Poppy's Kettle Corn for Confreedy Sports Complex, Mickey Stevens Sports Complex, and Oakland Beach. And those are the two awardees in this one. There was a third bidder that unfortunately served the same product or a very similar product to New England Lemonade, and the bid language prohibits us from having like products at the same locations.
Thank you for that, James. I remember this issue coming up numerous times over the years with the food concessions in the Kona Ice situation versus, you know, the lemonade thing. And do you know, has Kona Ice ever participated in these food concessions in the past, over the, say, the past 5 years?
What sessions, Mr. Chairman?
With the food concessions. You know, whether it be at the Rocky Point or, you know, around City Hall, et cetera, has Kona Ice participated in those areas in the past?
Yes. So last year, Kona Ice had the bid for Confreedy Sports Complex, and they also do participate in the various food truck nights. And that's actually something I'm looking at as I analyze the system moving forward is, you know, 10 years ago, you had lemonade trucks that would go around the beaches and Little League Field and stuff, ice cream trucks, and maybe some like staple ones. But now you have sort of this explosion in food trucks, and you have these festivals that go place to place. There's a food truck event every night somewhere in the state, which I think might be driving down the number of bidders for this type of situation, because they can go and pay a percentage and make money out front as opposed to staking cash and bidding process. So This system we're going to analyze going forward and see if we can come up with something more modern that maybe captures some different bid areas, or maybe it's a different process depending on what other cities and towns are doing.
Mm-hmm. So you don't recall whether Kona Ice ever kind of worked in the same location as these other vendors? Because I remember, you know, conversation that, you know, one is like ice and the other is like lemonade, and it's like two different things, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm just kind of reflecting back.
I like both products. I don't recall seeing Kona Ice, New England Lemonade. Like, I don't think New England Lemonade does a lot of the food truck nights.
Mm-hmm.
I know Kona Ice does. I don't recall seeing them at the same location, but my vision of this process goes back to last year's bid.
Sure.
I don't have historical knowledge on it.
All right. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Yes, Councilman Ricks.
Well, if we use the same process next year, I'd want to look at maybe adding some additional bid areas. Clegg Field comes to mind, a busy softball field with an adult league that doesn't have a concession stand that's functional at the moment. A place like Salters Grove, as it gets busier, you might look at that. There's little spots all over the city that we can look at. I'd want to look at, too, how they would interact with local businesses and things like that, just to make sure. If somebody's a lemonade stand right down the street from it, we don't want to put a lemonade truck at the park right next door if they invest in their business. But I want to take a smart approach and look to possibly adding some areas or look at some other processes. I've heard there's other cities and towns have apps that they use where instead of awarding, say, Rocky Point to one vendor, you have sort of a process where different trucks can sign up for different nights, pay a fee for that night. And something like that could possibly generate more revenue over the course of a year than it could over, the process of one bid for the whole year. But I'd want to do my due diligence on that because there'd be an operational cost, there'd be probably staffing costs on the city side. So there'd be different things to look at, but, we're looking to explore all options going forward on this, Councilman.
Some sites where, in terms of other food options, the more savory food outside of the frozen desserts, looks like there are some sites that didn't get any bidders at all. So I think that that's an excellent idea about looking into whether it might make sense to do some on a per night basis or per day basis so that we don't have holes in the schedule for vendors that might be able to fit there, and otherwise, just good for the residents, good for visitors in the city of Warren when we have more of these trucks that are out there able to serve up a variety of food.
Yeah, I agree, Councilman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion. Sir. Okay. P. PCR 9-20.
I move favorable action on PCR 9-20.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable action on PCR 9-20, formerly 2020-210. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, moving on, page 34, Mobile Thermal Printers. Major?
Lori Michaelides on behalf of the police department. In November, the police department went out to bid for thermal printers. We received 4 qualified bids. The department is requesting that the bid be awarded to Wally's Computer Associates Incorporated as the lowest overall bidder. Purchases under this contract will be made on an as-needed basis as we replace older printers that break down. The e-citation program is mandated by the state of Rhode Island. These printers allow traffic citations to be printed in the police cruisers with all related information automatically sent electronically to the Rhode Island Traffic Tribunal. If approved, funding not to exceed $6,500 would come from budget code 30-231. If awarded, this contract would run from March 27, 2020 through March 26, 2021.
Thank you, Major. And if I recall, I think with Wally Computer Associates, they're like a new vendor for the city, aren't they?
They're not a new vendor. We've contracted with them in the past on different items, not this one. They didn't have the contract last year, mm-hmm. but on other items previously they have.
Okay. Because I recall hearing very favorable comments from our MIS director about Wally, about their service, their competitiveness, et cetera, et cetera. And I know I'm really encouraged to see them, you know, back in the game, and it really shows in the numbers here too. So good job on your end as well. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
Major, you state that this e-citation program is mandated by the state. Does the state send any money to go along with that?
They do not.
Mandate? Okay, just another unfunded mandate?
That's correct.
All right, thank you, Major.
No big surprise, right, Councilman? Thank you, Major. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor? Aye. Thank you. 2020-240, found on page 38, various portable radios. Major?
In November, the police department also went out to bid for portable radio batteries. We received 8 qualified bids. The department is requesting that the bid be awarded to Visions of Video as the lowest overall bidder for items 1-4, and Global Technology Systems for items 5-8. GTS was able to provide substantially increased battery capacity on items 6 and 8 for a modest additional cost. GTS was also the lowest overall bidder on item 7 at a 2,500 milliamp capacity. These increased capacity batteries will transmit and receive for approximately 32 hours straight before needing to be recharged based on an in-house assessment we conducted. This would be critical for our SWAT team, our hostage negotiation team, et cetera, when officers are handling a long duration event. Our standard batteries typically last 16 hours or so before needing to be recharged. If approved, funding for this contract not to exceed $10,000 would come from budget code 30-271. If awarded, this would be a 2-year contract running from March 22nd, 2020 through March 21st, 2022.
Thank you, Major. How many companies bid on this last time?
Last time? I'm not sure.
Okay. And did anyone contact any of the companies that did not bid on this?
No one did, no.
No. So, when I look at this, what I hear you, what you're saying about GTS, Global Technology Systems,
yep.
But I also see where It's discussed, just bear with me 1 minute. It's discussed on what our page 45 here is. It says that we recommend awarding items 1 through 4 Motorola battery products to the overall lowest bidder, Visions of Video. It should be noted that Interstate All Battery Center of Auburn bid on compatible batteries for items 1 through 4, not Motorola products as specified. But in the bid document that we have, what I have on mine from Interstate Batteries on 1 through 4 is no bid. So there seems to be some confusion somewheres. Either I'm confused or something's confused, because it says that Interstate All Battery bid on compatible batteries for items 1 through 4. But on our bid sheet, it says Interstate Battery, no bid. Is that the same thing as my colleagues have? Do you have the same thing? No bid on page 39.
Yeah, on the individual bid results that I reviewed per company, they did have a figure written down, but it wasn't what they were supposed to bid on. It wasn't the Motorola battery. It was a compatible battery. This summary sheet is not reflecting that, but the individual bid packet did.
So what were those numbers? Because I'd be very interested in knowing what those numbers were from Interstate All Battery.
I don't have the original packet with me.
Because it's difficult for me, anyways, to make an assessment on this if I don't know what their bid was, particularly where now I'm seeing it where it says no bid. I just assumed until I read the rest of the information that they didn't bother bidding. So I said, okay, no big deal.
Yeah, they bid on the wrong item. Essentially, items 5 through 8 are a compatible battery. One through four was the Motorola battery.
Okay.
They did not bid on the correct specs. So potentially that's why it's listed as not a qualified bid.
Okay, so then I'm going to get on to the next paragraph, because that's something else I'm going to need to hear what the rationale is. So with Interstate, we're saying they bid on a compatible battery, not Motorola products as specified. The next paragraph, it says, we further recommend awarding items 5 through 8 Motorola compatible lithium batteries to Global Technology Systems. GTS was able to provide substantially increased capacity on items 6 and 8 for the modest additional cost. GTS was also the lowest overall bid on item 7 for MAH capacity of 2,500. So I don't understand why one is okay to bid on a Motorola compatible lithium batteries and change what your specs were. In this case, it upgraded it. And it's okay on that, but it's not okay on the items 1 through 4. I don't understand the rationale for that.
For having two sets of specs? Is that what your question is?
No. What's it's saying here is on the items 1 through 4 that Interstate, their bid was essentially refused because they bid on compatible batteries. They didn't bid on the specific Motorola product.
Right.
But yet, down further, it says that GTS bid on a Motorola compatible lithium batteries, and it provides substantially increased capacity on items 5 and 6 for a modest additional cost. So is this battery they're talking about, is it a Motorola battery or is it a Motorola compatible battery?
On items 5 through 8, compatible lithium battery.
So as an example, with DeWalt, and it was just coincidence that I happened to be looking for it for personal use last night, I I'm looking for a 9-volt DeWalt battery for DeWalt tool. And DeWalt site says, okay, boom, this is what it is. But when you look down further, it's not a DeWalt battery. There's nothing on the battery that says DeWalt, but it's a DeWalt compatible battery, which means it performs as well. It does the trick. It's fine. There's nothing wrong. And it happens to be cheaper. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to wrap my arms around this issue here where one who bids a compatible battery, compatible meaning that it meets the specs, meaning that it's going to work, meaning that it's going to fit in the particular tool, in this case, which is a radio, a handheld radio, is that it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And it's going to do, you know, whatever it's supposed to do, it just isn't a Motorola brand. In that case, that doesn't work. But over here, further down, it says that GTS is a Motorola compatible lithium battery. So when I see Motorola compatible, to me, that indicates or suggests that it isn't a brand Motorola battery.
Correct. So on item 6, for example, for Interstate, they're showing their capacity at 3,100 for $79.50. GTS is showing a 5,000 capacity for $1.50 more. Mm-hmm. That's why we were selecting a substantially increased capacity on the compatible battery. That's why we selected GTS.
Okay, I'm going to get to the numbers in a second. It also says on item 7 for MAH capacity of 2,500, but in the bid, it says 2,700. So which one are we buying? Is it 2,500 MAH or is it 2,700?
You know, this was completed a month ago. I couldn't tell you which one is correct. I'd like to think that my letter was accurate, but you know, maybe it's not. I don't know.
Yeah, it does. GTS says MAH 2,700. So is it to assume that it's a typographical error in the letter?
I don't want to assume that, but even for argument's sake, to say if it was an error within the letter, if you look at the capacity on the other vendors, they're all at 2,000 or less, 1,400, 1,200, mm-hmm. et cetera. Even if it were 2,500, it's still well above the other competitors.
Oh, I'm not arguing that point. I'm just looking to, you know, clarify, is it 25 or 27? I mean, it may be nitpicking, but nonetheless, just something that I picked up. So on item 6, mm-hmm. on item 6, GTS is, that's for the type APX 8000 radio. Mm-hmm. They bid $81, and in their specs on the MAH capacity, they say 5000 in short form. What does short form mean?
I couldn't tell you. I had our radio technician review these specs, and he went through everything, and based on his recommendation, he was stating 5,000 short form is what we wanted. I don't know if they're all short form or not, but he reviewed it, and he stated that that was the one that we should go with.
I just found it interesting that it says short form. I mean, what does that mean? Is it 5,000 or is it something less? You know, because it's short form. What does short form mean? I don't see that anywhere else on any other bids or any other items. So, so we don't know what it means. Envision Video they have 3,400 for $66, and GTS has 5,000 short form for $81.
Correct. The bulk of this contract, we're going to be looking to replace our traditional standard batteries as they come up, as far as they're not charging as well anymore, they're older, they need to be replaced. The bulk is going to go toward replacing the standard battery. As time goes on, if a member of the SWAT team, for example, his battery needs to be replaced, we want to get him one of those batteries that can last 32, 40 hours straight without being charged. In the event there ever is an event that is a long duration, they're ready to go with that type of battery. So it's not department-wide where we're going to be purchasing those high-capacity batteries. It's going to be a small percentage of what we purchase. Mm-hmm. How many? It's going to depend as they come up.
Major, on item number 8, XTS 2500, mm-hmm. is that a battery that you use often, or is it a battery that you use infrequently?
Infrequently. The most common is the APX 8000. That's what generally our patrol officers carry every day. So that's the most frequently used.
Which one is that?
It's going to be item number 6.
Item number 6. List. Oh, the 8000 you said. Okay,
yep.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
The reason I'm asking about XTS 2500 is, sure, I see where they have an MAH of 4500, vision video is 2500. Mm-hmm. But GTS's price is more than double. You're getting an additional 45% capacity, but the price is more than double. So I'm not convinced that that's worth it. Because if you have a battery that dies at $33 2 years into this contract, you buy another one, and you're still ahead of the game. So I'm not quite so sure that that's worth the money. So is the 4,500 versus 2,500, is that in staying power of the battery?
Yes.
That's what that is?
Yes. The longer it can stay on, transmit, and receive without being charged.
Okay.
So for a regular patrol officer, not as much a big deal, but someone that ends up stuck on a call, critical, you know, mass shooting,
sure.
The crazy call that they're out there for hours and hours and hours mm-hmm. on end, we don't want to worry about their battery dying. That's
okay.
The thinking.
And as you said, that's a battery you use infrequently.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. You answered and addressed my concerns with it from a financial perspective. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
Just one, and a major, you touched on it, but you know, in our package here, it does say GTS was provided substantial increased capacity on items 6 and 8 for a modest additional cost. I believe you mentioned what was it? It was
$1.50.
So that's what we're talking about
yes.
in terms of modest.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilman Howell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Major, I know that at the beginning, which I appreciate the chairman did identify, he asked if you called the other vendors. However, I do want to identify that there's a lot of vendors that put in for this, and therefore there was a lot of information to transmit. And I want the chairman to understand, I'm not questioning his curiosity. I mean, the guy runs a successful business, so he understands the bids and he knows what to look for. Mm-hmm. However, I would say that 1/3 of 36 vendors bid on this, which is, I think we all can agree that's a large amount and one of the biggest we've seen in the 3 years
it's
I've been doing
response.
This.
Yep.
So I commend that. As far as from the explanations you said and from hearing what the chairman said, I can definitely understand and respect what he's asking. I think your explanations were fair. I do want to say that I will take in consideration, strong consideration, that you did go to someone who's a professional in the like a commos person. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that, you know, the Marine sitting to my left can also respect and understand it, you know, you everyone has a certain title and a job. And I know when I needed comms, I didn't know how to assemble the thing. I didn't know what battery, why I had to use the battery. I just wanted the dang thing to work. And I can respect that considering the service that these are going into. So, Mr. Chairman, I completely understand. And you brought up some valid things I would have never looked for. So I thank you. But I think this is a well put together a bid package. Thank you, sir.
I didn't suggest that it wasn't, did I?
Not at all.
Okay. Major, if, just for my own edification, I don't know if anyone else wants it, but I'd like to learn what that short form means.
I will have the radio technician send you an
email. I'm curious as to what it means.
Yep.
Because oftentimes when something's put in there like that, it means something. Okay, any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded. We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Major. Item 2020-256, cement concrete mixes, found on page 46.
Matthew Solitro, Department of Public Works Director for the City of Warwick. My department is wishing to award to Consolidated Concrete Corp for low strength materials in the amount of $8,000.
And Matt, this material will be used for?
This material is an excavatable flowable fill, which achieves 100% compaction around pipes, roadways. So if you have an emergency where it's not feasible or viable to compact in lifts going up to grade, this takes 100% compaction. I'm a big proponent of it because if you have 100% compaction, nothing settles out. Therefore, you can't have a bell and a spigot on a pipe let go, rupturing a water line or compromising a roadway.
And is this something that can be used at this time of the year as well?
Absolutely.
You know, in freezing temperatures, et cetera?
Absolutely. Okay. So if you look in the back of the bid documents, there's 1% additive per cubic yard and a pricing page for that. What that does, it's basically like an antifreeze that goes in and allows it to cure either quickly or slowly depending on the heat conditions or the cold conditions.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action. Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. 2020-261, radiator manufacturer and or repair, found on page 51.
Again, Matthew Solitro, Department of Public Works Director for the City of Warwick. We're looking to recommend the award in the manner of the award for $5,000 to Brooklyn General Repair Incorporated, or DBA, BGR Radiator, in the amount of $5,000.
So, Matt, in addition to the half a dozen vendors that I see here that were sent an RFP, do you know if any other vendors were sent requests to bid?
So, currently, the only information that I can give you, Councilman, is the half a dozen vendors. That's what was sent out there.
Okay. And do you have any idea why only one company bid?
I do not at this time. This is the second rebid of the same exact specification that we sent out some time ago.
Mm-hmm. And the RFP that you sent out this time, I see that there's a sample sheet put over here for different items of repair. So the RFP that you put out, did it call, was it specific in stating these particular items that we have in our bid package, as well as requesting an hourly rate for a repair? Because we've gone through this before, and I've made the calls before, and I've spoken to radiator people in the past, and it's impossible for them to give us a fixed number to repair a radiator, because you don't know what it is till A, you get it, and until you figure out, you know, is it a pinhole or is it a bullet hole? You know, you don't know what the damage is. So they can't give you a number. And that is some of the reasons why folks have not been bidding on this, because it's impossible to put a number on it. So this bid that went out, was it specific and saying, as an example, these pots that are on our sheet right here, with the pot number, did we put that together, or was that something that Brooklyn General Repair submitted to us?
No, we put that together.
So these are your pots?
Yeah, there's a note on the bottom of it.
Okay.
If you read the bottom of it, what it says, I can read it if you'd like.
Yeah, go ahead.
It says, the above list represents only a sampling of the most commonly used parts for the past, it's dark in here, for the past of the bid award and is not inclusive of all parts that may be purchased. So basically, it's a sampling of the parts which the Finance Committee's been asking for over a period of time as to the most frequently used parts.
Sure. I'm glad you clarified that, because it doesn't say, and by looking at it, I wasn't sure if that was Brooklyn that made that statement.
No, that's
or
us.
It was you guys.
Yeah, we actually, I don't know if you remember or you recall, but last year we bid this four times.
Yep, I remember.
Just trying to get the bugs or the kinks worked out of it, mm-hmm. So I think we might have it down now.
So this is the sheet that was sent out to those half a dozen vendors.
Correct.
And they, in addition to that, were given this first sheet here that says hourly rate, percentage over vendor cost, and warranty. So all six of them received that as well for the hourly rate for repairs?
To the best of my knowledge, yes.
Okay. Fine. And no one contacted the other vendors to see why they did not bid?
We have not.
Okay. So, seems like we're kind of just going back to where we were.
Right.
Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. But I do want to say that's good. I mean, you put out exactly what we were looking for, and we went out more than once to try to get more bidders, but they are a qualified bidder. They put it on here, so, obviously we need to keep the city moving, keep the city running with these repairs. So I commend you for taking the additional step of trying to go back out again. But everyone had the opportunity to bid on this, and this is a qualified bidder. So I think we're in a good position to move forward on this. Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on. We need acceptance of the minutes for December 20th.
Favorable action. Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. January 2nd minutes.
Favorable action.
Sorry, January 6th. We have a motion favorable.
Seconded.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Moving on, PCR 5-20, resolution relative to bids. Move on to item 2, PCO 21-19, an ordinance relative to employee benefits. Let's bear with me 1 minute. I'll make a motion to hold until March 9th.
I'll second that motion.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
We have a motion to hold. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. An ordinance relative to tangible property tax regarding vacant storefronts. PCO 29-19, Councilman Sinapi. At the request of the sponsor, I'll make a motion to hold until March. When did you say? March 9th.
Seconded.
We have a motion, we have a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. PCR 3-1-20, structural firefighting particulate hoods. Chief.
Jason Umbenhauer, Assistant Chief of the Fire Department. The bid for particulate hoods, bid 2020-225, has been received by the Fire Department. Two vendors submitted bids. After evaluating pricing, the following vendor has proposed the lowest price and has met all the specifications to the satisfaction of the department. Therefore, I recommend the bid be awarded to the following vendor, Shipman's Fire Equipment out of Waterford, Connecticut. Purchase of these hoods will allow the department to fully equip our firefighters with a protective hood that meets NFPA 1971 standards. Currently, our department members are supplied with a traditional style hood, does not provide protection from carcinogenic particulate and the vulnerable head and neck area. Recent innovations in hood design and fabrics have added a protective layer that offers protection from persistent fire ground carcinogens and other harmful contaminants. Funding for this project will come from budget code 35235, firefighter supplies. This is a new bid, and if approved, it will have an effective date of 1 year from the date of the award for an amount not to exceed $15,000.
Any questions from members of the committee? Chief, this was, you had gone back out for a rebid on this, didn't you?
No, we held it from the last meeting. Okay. There was some, the vendor that we chose, that we're recommending, did not meet. They had some exceptions to the specifications. We had our health and safety committee review them to make sure that they were satisfactory, okay. That the exceptions and the materials that they quoted were acceptable, and they found that they were acceptable for $10 cheaper than the other vendor. So
okay.
We're going to go with that vendor.
Fair enough. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, need a motion?
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
A resolution, PCR 195-19, a resolution relative to creating a commission to study health care, health insurance benefits. Councilman Sinapi. Okay, for the record, in case no one can hear, Councilman Sinapi, he has asked to table this until February 24th.
I'll make a motion to hold to February 24th.
Seconded.
We have a motion at the request of the sponsor to hold until February 24th. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Finance Committee is adjourned at 6:17. Finance Committee is adjourned. I know.
Kills my knees. Those, not only that, but those rubber cups. They bind the chair. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.